Hey, you want that to go?
All right, news takeouts this morning. Some stories that we're following. Market insanity yesterday on Wall Street. Prices dropping, 1,000 points on the Dow in a matter
10%.
Of minutes. 10%. And then a rubber band rebound, as Celeste described it earlier this morning. How does this happen in what's supposed to be one of the most sophisticated trading environment in the world? We're joining us to help explain it and some other interesting happenings around Wall Street this morning. Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning.
10%. In a matter of minutes, how much do we know right now about how the heck this happened?
It was the biggest intraday drop in the market, and people were very panicked. But then, you know, you said it went back up. It was like the market crashed that wasn't. Some people are calling this the fat finger trade because there's theories out there. We don't know what happened, but there's theories that someone's fat little finger hit a B rather than an M for billion rather than million. But
that'd have to be a really big finger.
Right.
I know it's a theory and it's funny, but can that really happen? I mean, is it a matter of hitting a B instead of an M and there are no safeguards to prevent something like this?
So we don't know if that happened, but I had a really interesting conversation yesterday with a man named Dermot Clancy, who is a floor broker and who's worked on the New York Stock Exchange floor for 24 years. And what he was saying to me is that he feels that it's, all of the automated trading systems that have taken over, even the New York Stock Exchange, have made it so that if there were an error like that, it might go through. He said, because computers would not pick it up, whereas having a human eye and a little bit more of this might have stopped it. So that was his theory.
And now to get the money back that was lost in this sort of insanity of a mistype or a typo, they had to say what? That any deal that lost 60% within this time frame is off, it's canceled?
Well, this is going to flesh out over days and days. You're going to see people investigating this for quite a while till we really know what happened. And I think that you may even see it feed into some of the financial reform debate over what kind of market structure and trading systems we should have.
Right, and that debate is still on the floor in the Senate.
Absolutely.
Well, moving off the trading floor, back to our old friend and your old friend, Goldman Sachs, they're going to make a little bit of news today.
Yep, I'll be at their annual shareholder meeting that they're holding this morning. You know, I've gone every year the last few years. I got to tell you, it's usually pretty boring. But
are there going to be booze this year?
No, I doubt that. But it may be more interesting than the typical shareholder meeting because, you know, they're on the hot seat over this SEC case. There will be an important vote over whether Lloyd Blankfein, the CEO, should retain the chairman title of the board. And the other thing, I reported today that we found out that a major client has canceled business with them, which people have been wondering if anyone would, and that was AIG.
Oh, another darling of the financial scandal.
Another darling. And last week I found out they called up Goldman and they said, you know, we were going to have you structure our whole overhaul of our strategy, but never mind. And so that certainly raises questions about if other clients are doing this. They don't typically announce it. Right. That they do that. So we're all watching for whether they're losing client business.
So now Goldman Sachs isn't even good enough for the likes of AIG. That's sort of a low point, I think, on Wall Street. Well, Louise Story from our partner, The New York Times. Read her story in today's Times. She's talking all about it. Thanks, Louise.
Let's go overseas to the UK now. One of the tightest races in nearly two decades. They're almost done counting, but it looks like we're going to be talking about who actually won this election for a while. Rob Watson joins us. He's political correspondent for our partner, the BBC. You've been up all night, right?
I'm not yawning because I'm falling asleep on Downing Street. No, that was a fake one. It has been possibly the most fascinating night in British politics since 1974 or 1997. Absolutely extraordinary.
Well, who won?
I thought you might ask me that. Well, it's very to answer the question in a straightforward way, that there's no outright winner in the sense that we know who the government will be, so that deals with your question in that way. But because, of course, we have a parliamentary system, what has happened is that the Conservatives have ended up as the biggest party in the new parliament, but not by enough to have an outright majority, because we have 650 seats, so you can do the math. You need 326 seats to have a majority, and they've fallen short of that by about 20 seats.
Okay, so this means that we don't know who the prime minister is going to be.
Well, we know who he is for the immediate future, and that's Gordon Brown, who's still sitting in Downing Street, I know, because I've just been there, and you know, he's think he's probably having a bit of a lie down. So we don't know who the prime minister's going to be in the longer run. But essentially, we now have what's known as a hung parliament, and really, it's up to the parties to see if they can form some workable government. Now, the really interesting thing is, I'll just say this very briefly: is, you know, in many ways, the big loser last night gets to choose the winner. What I mean by that is that it was
the
Liberal Democrats. They've been expected to do so well. The third party suddenly doing something in British politics. It didn't happen, but guess what? You know, he gets to choose whether it's Mr. Cameron or Mr. Brown.
Yeah, because everyone's going to be courting them to try and help them make a coalition government.
They are being love bombed, is the expression that's being used in Britain, and the Liberal Democrats say it's not entirely the best thing in the world to be love bombed by either Labour or Conservative.
Okay, to make this even more confusing, Rob Watson, the Britain's electoral chief said yesterday there could be legal challenges because hundreds of voters were turned away from the polls.
That sounds familiar.
Absolutely. It's being described as our own hanging chads. I think it's not entirely clear what the scale of it is or whether it would affect the result, but it's certainly something in the mix there, isn't it? There we are. We have our first ever televised debates. We have a really close election, a hung parliament.
Oh, you're blaming this on the United States, Rob.
No, not at all. I'm just saying that after all of the excitement, guess what? We can't organize a few crosses on a bit of paper.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, you know, now that you did American-style debating, you now have American-style Florida election.
No.
Okay, well, get some sleep, Rob Watson. He's been reporting for the BBC all night long. He's a political correspondent with them, and he will continue to watch as they form a government in Britain. And who knows how long that's going to take with a hung parliament. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.